Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another edition of the Daily Friend Wrap. I'm your host, Nicholas Lorimer, today joined by Makone Maja. First news story of today, comments made by Agriculture Minister John Steenhuisen about Sakhalika, an organization representing business in South Africa. Sakhalika has recently criticized Steenhuisen's Department of Agriculture, saying that it has advanced BEE in the agricultural sector and is complying with BEE regulations. Steenhuisen hit back, claiming that they were cherry-picking what parts of the constitution they wanted to uphold and ignoring inequality in the agricultural sector. Steenhuisen said, "There can surely be no rational person who looks at the Gini coefficient of 0.63 in South Africa and cannot discern that there exists a great inequality problem in our country. Due to the legacy of apartheid, a history of legislative dispossession and discrimination, as well as policy and governance failures, particularly during the 9 wasted years of elite enrichment, corruption, and state capture, South Africa remains an economically unjust society. More importantly, our economy is not growing fast enough." He went on to say that the Agricultural Committee was influenced as well by inequality. Quote, "The scale of our challenge, however, is set out in the book by renowned agricultural economist Wandile Sihlobo, entitled A Country of Two Agricultures. It sets out in stark reality that despite decades of political freedom, this has not resulted in adequate improvement in the social economic prospects of the majority of South Africans in the agricultural sector." He said that Sakhalika was incorrect in its criticisms of him, that the Department of Agriculture is not the custodian of triple BEE, and that, quote, "a little bit of basic research by Sakhalika would have shown that the gazetting and promulgation of the architecture and regulatory framework was done by the Department of Trade and Industry. The codes of good practice were signed by the Minister of Trade and Industry on the 8th of December 2017, 9 years before I became Agriculture Minister." Now, this is quite concerning to me, Makone, for a number of reasons. One of them is that it's not as though Steenhuisen explicitly says that he's cool with BEE. In fact, he says that he's not guilty of what he's charged with by Sakhalika. But he's kind of implicitly making the argument here that BEE is a way to reduce inequality. Am I being unfair to say that?
That's the reading I also gather from that article, Nick. It's as though he is proposing that BEE could be a solution to inequality, that we need BEE to resolve inequality, and that those who argue otherwise either have like some dodgy interests to protect and in maintaining the status quo, which is why he reflects on that book by Wandile Sihlobo of A Tale of Two Agricultures. I mean, I think our colleague Anthea Jeffrey has written extensively about this, particularly that there's evidence that demonstrates that BEE is the reason why among the South African population, Blacks have the largest inequality ratio of any of the races. Because instead of redistributing resources to the poor and the underprivileged, it concentrates those resources in the hands of the rich. And so whilst I have an empathy for Steenhuisen and perhaps his position is that, you know, businesses that are underprivileged need to be brought into the fold so that they can participate in that economy, I don't think there's anyone who would disagree with that. I think the solution would not be BEE, though. It would be means testing businesses and entrepreneurs and providing support to those who need. Because the go-to example we can provide in this regard is there's no reason why a rich politician's family member should continue to benefit from BEE when they are farmers who have far less, have been marginalized by the system, who could be supported and be well on their way to success and prosperity in their farming endeavors, could be supported instead. So I think what we're observing is also a battle of the DA's presentation in government. I think they're struggling with finding their identity in government. I think we know what a DA looks like on opposition benches. We know what to expect from them. You can almost time a DA statement when something in government would happen. But I think they're now battling with presenting their ideas from within the government and from within the government of national unity. And I think that's what we're observing here with Mr. Steenhuisen.
What also frustrates me about this is this sort of the kind of the claim that, no, you see, I don't set the policy on this. I just need to follow the law. And sure, you need to follow the law. But one also would expect that a leader of a political party who said that he's, you know, committed to increasing economic growth in this country would make sure that he was going out of his way to push back as hard as he could on the toxic legislation and the toxic policies and the toxic regulations. You know, if another department is setting the regulations here, then you should be writing to that department every day saying, this is killing my sector. Can we change the regulations? And explaining to the public, if they don't do that, why things are not getting better. We're not seeing the policy impact that the DA promised that it would be able to have in the GNU. And this concerns me very greatly because there was a chance after this election that there could be some softening of policy in a direction that would create more economic growth and more prosperity for more South Africans. But after SONA, I'm very skeptical. It seems to me like there's a lot of same old, even though there's more lip service than ever being given to the need for economic growth. Any final
after thoughts? SONA? After Bella, after the Expropriation Act, you know, the DA is under no obligation to play nice anymore. None of the non-ANC partners in the GNU are, especially ones in ministerial positions. And like you're saying, we want to see demonstrated the vigor and the rambunctiousness and the forcefulness that these non-ANC GNU partners demonstrated outside of the GNU that has now seemingly been stymied by, I don't know, a sense of being cordial within the GNU, and the ANC has afforded none of them any of that. The ANC is far more kind and considerate to its tripartite alliance members and even to opposition members than they are to people within their own government. They treat them as though they have such contempt for them. So I absolutely agree with you. I think the non-ANC partners should not hold back. All bets have been off ever since the Expropriation Act was signed behind their back. And after the mechanism of conflict resolution seemed to be nothing but just a show, a perfunctory exercise to say, yep, we tried, but we're going to go back to ANC regular status quo.
Yeah, so maybe the fact that you're a minority in cabinet and maybe the already passed laws do put you in handcuffs, well, then you should be struggling against those handcuffs even if you can't get free, because simply by showing that you're struggling, you show South Africans who backed you that you are trying to implement the policies you did. I just, it's mysterious, this report to me, because it, you know, never mind the morality or the what's the good policy or that, it just seems like bad politics. I think you know, the DA, I wouldn't be surprised if they if they release a statement distancing themselves from this report quite quickly in the next couple of days. But anyway, we'll have to see. We'll be watching that story with great interest in amongst the fury that is surrounding the budget, which is due tomorrow. We'll talk about that tomorrow. Okay, let's move on to another story. And this is about Gwede Mantashe, the Minister of Mining, who on a sort of, it seems like a kind of off-the-cuff discussion or at least an off-the-cuff comment during a discussion of South Africa's nuclear program and attempts to add more nuclear power to the grid. He said that he was open to the idea that Iran or Russia must bid on creating nuclear projects in South Africa. He said, quote, "We can't have a contract that says Iran or Russia must not bid. We can't have that one condition. If they are the best in terms of offer on the table, we'll take any country." So what's particularly crazy about this, you know, and I understand the ANC has this love affair with Russia, whatever, right? And I think most of the world, including the Americans to some degree, also kind of accepts that. What is way more mysterious is Iran, who has an incredibly globally sanctioned nuclear program, who is accused very credibly by very many countries of being on the verge of producing a nuclear weapon, anywhere between 1 year to 1 week away from being able to properly start putting warheads together. Why would you include Iran? South Africa has a much longer record of nuclear energy and use of nuclear power than Iran does. Iran's program is much newer than ours. Iran doesn't have money. It's all funded off of oil and Chinese investments. What could they possibly bring to the table? I mean, this is just silly. And you can see that it's super silly by the fact that Mantashe's own party, which controls the Department of International Relations and Cooperation, very quickly responded to the media reports in this by saying, we don't have any agreements with Iran. We don't share any nuclear stuff with them. We have no cooperation whatsoever, said spokesperson Clayson Moniela. There are no technical exchanges between two countries, and neither do we export to Iran any controlled items, nuclear, chemical, or biological. These areas are strictly governed by our country's Non-Proliferation Act and monitored by the relevant UN agencies. Makone, it really seems to me like Mantashe is doing his absolute best to sabotage the ANC's diplomatic efforts to try and pull the US back from kicking us out of AGOA.
Absolutely. And you can see from Durko's response there, quickly stepped in to do damage control and to temper the rhetoric before it catches the eye of one Donald Trump, who does not need to know the finer details of something to speak out on it, as we saw with the Expropriation Act. But you are absolutely right. It seems we're determined to do everything we can to tick the Americans off. I mean, you spoke on Iran and how we have no ties with them. During the state capture years, one of the reasons why Minister Ntlatlanene, finance minister, was fired, and overnight we had a different minister. And then two nights after that, we had another finance minister was over this nuclear project, where he found that it would be far expensive than the models than had been modeled. And so it was not worthwhile to pursue it, that we were better off pursuing projects with other countries. And he was fired over that. So those ideas have already been mooted. It seems this is coming back in public discourse and is being brought up by Minister Mantashe to pretend that South Africa has some sort of leverage, and that if the West goes their own way, then we can sort of still continue to stumble on defiantly. I'm not really sure what the minister is hoping to achieve with those statements, other than just to display defiance and to sort of show them on that whole "we will not be bullied" attitude. But it's completely frustrating that it seems that South Africa's foreign policy is just downstream from the ANC conferences. You know, those still seem to be the lone voice and the lone determinant of what South Africa's foreign policy disposition is, meaning anti-Western and pro, like, Eastern and elements that are considered rogue by the Europeans and the Americans. And a big middle finger to the EU, by the way, who tried to come to South Africa's defense after the Expropriation Act. Mantashe had other ideas about that too.
Yeah, Europe also sanctions the Iranians as part of the JCPOA, I think it's called. Anyway, very frustrating to watch. Let's talk a little bit about ANC internal politics. It's being reported in the media that the ANC is today going to be announcing to its structures that it's made sweeping changes to its Gauteng and KZN leadership structures. This is after a big fight inside the party over whether those structures should be disbanded or simply reinforced with different people. Gauteng and KZN were really poor performers for the ANC during the election, particularly KZN, where they dropped to sort of 17% of the vote, getting absolutely crushed there, with the IFP taking the premiership, the ANC as a junior partner in that provincial government. It looks like they're placing Panyaza Lesufi as the co-convener of Gauteng along with Amos Masondo. They're also placing new people in KZN. Jeff Radebe, I think, is being sent to KZN. And various other positions. The claim from the insider who leaked this to the media said it's a middle ground where so no one can say they have won. The president is in charge. He is at the center of everything. Mashatile and Imbalula cannot claim to have won this round, not even Gwede Mantashe. And that's, I think, the kind of nub of this, which is that this is all really just a smokescreen for internal ANC battles over who's going to succeed Ramaphosa as leader of the ANC. Mbulula and Paul Mashatile seem to be kind of front runners. Maybe Panyaza Lesufi is in there either as a second in command to Mashatile or as his own candidate. It once again seems like Ramaphosa's, you know, preferred way of doing things is just to sort of muddle on, kick the can down the road, and create some kind of compromise, not having to make a tough choice. At least that's my impression I get from this ANC reshuffle. What do you make of it, Makone?
And to give off the facade of unity, right? He never wants to be seen to be poking the bear too much. But I think this is, as you described it, it's a bigger conversation about the succession and succession of Ramaphosa and who comes after him, whether it will be Lesufi or Mashatile or even Mbalula. And I think it's presented a great opportunity for the Mbalula and Mashatile types, because now you're seeing Panyaza Lesufi sort of being reined in after Gauteng ANC had a shocking performance in the previous election. I think the article stated that they lost 19 points since the 2019 election. So that whopping defeat in Gauteng and in KZN, I think certainly deserved an intervention from the ANC, but I think it's very well timed because we've also been seeing how somebody like Mbalula has been using his secretary general position to discipline the others or to try and discipline the others. But I think it's to be continued on the succession of Ramaphosa front. And even though the ANC has come out and quelled those conversations about, you know, who gets to come after Ramaphosa, I don't think there's any chance of those going away. I think they're very much part of our political landscape now. And a lot of how these actors will be moving in future will be telling us how they want to be perceived in light of, you know, future leadership within the ANC.
On the last election results, the ANC didn't do quite as badly. They went from 50% to 34%, 34.76%. So that's a 15.5 swing, which is still just catastrophic. That's enough to, you know, take you from majority to very much a junior partner, only a few points ahead of the DA, who got about 27.5% in that province. I was just also remarking when I was double checking those numbers that the EFF no longer had their candidate for premier in Gauteng was Ndlozi, who is no longer with the EFF.
Oh,
how times change!
Anyway. How quickly yes, things change.
Lesufi pushed to the side and having to share power, Ndlozi out. Politics moves very fast in this country sometimes. Anyway, we hope that you found the show interesting. We will be back tomorrow, almost certainly talking about the budget unless something crazy happens. So join us for that one. Thanks very much, everyone, and have a great day.
The Daily Friend Show and The Daily Friend are a project of the Institute of Race Relations, the IRR. The IRR is a think tank which was founded in 1929 to study race relations in South Africa and works to change government policy to improve race relations through non-racialism and to ensure the prosperity of all South Africans. If you like our work and would like to support us, please go to irr.org.za and click Support the IRR, or you can go to thedailyfriend.co.za and click the Fund Us button.